13. This is the first work of the Lord here to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs. And I alluded to this last Sunday morning, and thank you for all of the kind comments concerning our change of format that we had last week. It was a wonderful, very intimate time of fellowship and worship together. And people have been asking me, Pastor, we should do this again. Well, without breaking any secrets, guess what we are? Mark March 30th on your calendar. We're calling it Fifth Sunday. On the fifth Sunday of the month, we're going to be emphasizing worship, testimonies, and food, and fellowship. And it'll be on those days. We may have water baptism. We could have baby dedications. We may have church membership. It'll be a whole lot of stuff. But I just want to let you know that this is what God's laid on our hearts. And last week was kind of a beta test of what God has laid on my heart. And God did much more than what I could have ever imagined. So just mark that on your calendar. If you got your Bibles open to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this is our theme verse for 2019. Our theme verse. And it simply says, and you can read it with me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. A man was walking in a pitch black night when he fell over a cliff. On the way down, he managed to grab hold of a small branch sprouting out of the side of the precipice. Desperately, he called out for help, and a voice answered from above, "What do you want?" "I'm stuck down here, holding on to a branch," the man replied. "I can't hold on any much longer. Can you help me?" "Oh, yes, I can help," came the reply. "Who are you?" the man asked. "I'm God," replied the voice. The man queried, asked, "What do you want me to do, God?" "Let go of the tree." For a while there was silence. Then the man called out and said, "Is there anyone else up there?" Anyone ever felt like that? I can think of times in my own life where I have prayed and sought the Lord, and it felt as if I was at the end of my rope, and I knew that I was to call on God, and God told me to trust him, but it felt as if he was saying to me, "Let go of the branch." And it's one thing to trust God when you can see the results, when you can see something happening. But when it looks like there's absolutely nothing below to hold you, you start to have trust issues, don't you? This year, God is calling us to a greater trust in him. The word trust, if you're ever wondering, the word trust means a firm belief in the reliability or in the ability of someone or something. Let me put it to you this way. As humans, in everything we do, our confidence is drawn from the source of our trust. In fact, right from our childhood, we were confident that we will be fed every day because we trusted that mom would be there making sure food was ready when we came home from school or when dad came home from work. We trusted our parents' love and their ability to provide security and safety for us. Very often in our spiritual life, there is a dilemma because all of a sudden mom and dad aren't there anymore and we're living on our own in our own apartment and we're wondering in college, what on earth do I do now? Where's mom and dad when I need them? And often in our spiritual walk, that's how we find ourselves. Everything is right as rain as we're walking with the Lord and His glory is falling on us. But then things get dark and the clouds begin to gather and the hail begins to fall. And we wonder, okay, God, where are you? I don't see you. I can't hear you. Who and what do I trust in now? Then the danger is we end up trusting in our own ability. And before you know it, we fall flat on our face. And we wonder, God, what happened? What have I done wrong? Now, as we're gathered here this morning on this first Sunday, I know that most of you have perhaps already set and commenced your New Year's resolutions. I can tell you my resolution lasted all but 24 hours. I won't tell you what it was, but I've determined to begin a fresh tomorrow. And as we've entered this new year, most of us have entered in with a note of hope. We hope for a stronger marriage. We hope to pay off student debt. We hope that our children will be healthy. We hope to overcome addiction. We hope to be healthier physically. We hope that the church will grow. We hope to be stronger spiritually. But here's what I want us to realize this morning. Hope in and of itself changes nothing. We can hang on to that branch on that precipice and we can say, I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope the Lord will deliver me. I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope that someone will hear my cry for help. I hope, I hope, I hope. But unless we actually let go of the branch, unless we are willing to say, God, I let go of everything, my premonitions, my preconceptions, I let go of it all to trust you. Because that's exactly what trust is. See, the key to seeing your hopes and goals and faith for 2019 to come into action is the word trust. Trust is faith in action. Trust is what gives breath, life, and movement to your faith. Now, I'm not going to waste any of our time predicting what God may or may not do this year. But I can tell you I have hope that God's going to do great things. I have hope to see our mission of loving God result in an increase in our worship teams and even to see some youth involved in our youth in our worship teams. I have hope to see 100 new visitors to our church worship gatherings this year. I hope to see new prayer and care group ministries begin and our ministry footprint expand into the community. I hope to see our mission of loving others result in new community outreach through a neighborhood market. I have hope that God will lead us in developing a next generation ministry and the leadership that will see that ministry flourish. I hope to see our mission of serving the world result in seeing our deficit eliminated and that we can increase our support of missions at home and around the world. I have hope to see a new Alpha begin in February, impacting our church and reach at least 30 new people for Jesus. I hope to see our vision for revitalization begin breathing new life into our church's ministries and outreach through new and creative endeavors that are going to reach people for Jesus. But folk, this is what I want us to hear and hear very carefully. All the hope in the world means nothing unless together we take the steps forward in faith to trust God for the outcome. Oh, we all have hopes and dreams for our lives and for our families. But the realization of your hope, I want you to hear this. Someone needs to hear this morning. The realization of your hope is in direct relationship to the source of what or who you are trusting. Who are you trusting in this morning? What are you trusting in this morning? Because that is going to determine how you realize your hope. The passage that we read this morning in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 give to us two key responsibilities that we have. First of all, we need to lean on the Lord. And secondly, we need to learn to love Him with everything we've got. And when we do, guess what? He promises to lead us. Our task is to lean and to learn. It's God's job to lead us. So let's unpack this for a few moments, shall we? First of all, God calls us to trust in Him with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. I want you to look at that word trust. It means literally to lean with the whole body or to rest one's full weight upon it. We think of trust as putting our assurance in someone, but it's really so much more than that. The word picture here carries the idea of stretching yourself out upon a bed or on a hard surface with full confidence that you will not be let down. When we moved here 3 years ago, we were blessed with a brand new queen-size mattress. We had lived with the same bed, box spring and mattress for close to 30 years at that point, Sue and I. And it had seen its day, and someone blessed us immensely with a new bed. And folk, I tell you, when I come home in the evenings or in Sunday afternoons, I can't wait to flop on that bed. But I have something else in my house that's even just as comfortable, even a little bit more. And every guy in this room will understand when I say there's nothing like a lazy boy chair. There's nothing like the feeling of coming home after a hard day's work or after a hard day with the kids. And then you see that wonderful, wide, cushion chair, and you don't just sit in it genteelly like you're in Buckingham Palace. No, the lazy boy chair was meant for one purpose, and that was to flop into and to let your whole body be enveloped by that chair. There's nothing like a lazy boy. There's nothing like that feeling of just leaning into that chair and the comfort just, oh, I tell you, I love my chair. But focus would be different if I came home one day, like I did a while ago, and I wasn't paying attention. I'm used to my chair being in one spot. And I put my coat in the closet, and I'm waiting to sit in my chair in its one spot, and Sue moved the furniture. It wasn't there. I came crashing down. Here's the thing. You see, where we have a difficult time with trust, we don't argue the fact that God can provide for us. We don't argue the fact that God will heal us. We don't argue the fact that God will be our comforter, that He'll be our baptizer, that He'll be our best friend. We don't argue any of that, that God knows everything, that He's everywhere, that He gives us all that we need. The problem that you and I have is this, that when we are facing a time and He's calling us to rest and lean in Him and we don't see any results, the temptation is to do things our own way. But God says, if you want to see success in your life, if you want to see your hopes and dreams realized, if you want to see what you're putting faith in come to reality, then it's coming to lean on Him. And it means leaning on Him even when it doesn't make sense. Notice what He says, because the focus is this. We're not leading into a meaningless piece of fabric and wood like a lazy boy chair. But it says that we're trusting in the Lord. This is our focus. Our focus isn't on the pastor. The focus is not on the church. The focus isn't on what's in our bank account. The focus isn't on working out at the gym. No, our hope and trust is resting with our full weight and with everything we've got on Him. The word Lord here is the name Yahweh or Jehovah. And it focuses on God's covenant-making, promise-keeping character. And I mentioned to you during communion what that word covenant means. God has made a covenant to keep you. God has made a covenant to provide for you. God has made a covenant to be all that you need because He is God Almighty and nothing is going to change that. Write this down in your notes, Proverbs 29:25. Whoever trusts in the Lord is what? Kept safe. I love that. He's kept safe. We are not only just to trust in the Lord, but notice we are called to total trust and complete commitment. We're to trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. This same word, all, is used in Leviticus chapter 22 to refer to an offering that was to be burned on the altar in its entirety. Understand this, church, that God doesn't want half-baked sacrifices or half-hearted devotion. He wants us to be like offerings on the altar where we give ourselves without reservation to Him and to His will. Coming to church was never meant to be a hobby or a pastime. A committed follower of Jesus should not be out of the ordinary. In fact, the norm should be for each and every one of us to be devoted, fully devoted followers of Jesus. So let me ask you this morning. Are you here making a contribution? Or are you ready to make a total commitment to Christ? See, God is not just looking for contributors. He's calling us to be committers. So let me ask you this. What's holding you back from full surrender? The word heart in this passage refers to more than just the place where feelings come from. But in the Old Testament, the heart was considered the center of the mind, will, and emotions. We're to trust God with all of our feelings, our thoughts, and our decisions. You see, knowing God's will is not a matter of learning a new tricky technique or following a fancy formula. In fact, verse 5 continues, do not lean on your own understanding. The word lean there is the same word that we just looked at. This morning we're being given a choice. We can either lean on God or we can lean on self. The question is, who's going to hold us up the most? He says to lean fully on the Lord. Don't trust your own understanding. The word understanding refers to our mental process that we use to analyze a problem. We break it down in smaller parts and make a decision. Folk, there is a place for using common sense, and we need to use our brain that God has given us. But sometimes God puts us in a position where we just don't understand and all of our mental resources have been exhausted. And that's when we need to take God at His word and stand upon His word and trust Him that He said what He will do and He will bring us through. Who are you trusting in this morning? Are you leaning on Him? Then he says, not just to lean on Him, but to learn from Him. We lean on God, we give ourselves totally to Him, and then we lay ourselves out to Him. How do we learn from Him? We learn from Him as we acknowledge Him in all of our ways. In other words, in everything we do, in every detail of our lives, In every journey God takes us to, we are to acknowledge him. Not just on Sunday morning at the altar in communion, not just in Sunday school and Bible study, not just when we're in that Christian bubble where everyone agrees with us, but when we are at work and people are defaming the name of the Lord, we acknowledge Jesus. We're living for him. When we don't understand where God has put us, when we believe we've trusted God and we're in God's will and things just seem to not make any sense, God says, acknowledge me. Another word there in my translation said, to submit to me. And the idea is just as the Old Testament priest would take that offering and he would submit it onto the altar for complete consummation. God says, I want you to take your life and I want you, like that sacrifice, to give to me so that I can totally consume it with my holy fire. God says, trust me with all your heart. Lean on me. Learn from me. Learn what I can do. Learn what I can do in your marriage. Give me your spouse. Give me your kids. Give me your in-laws. Give me your boss. Give me your teacher. Give me your students. Whatever it is you're facing that's causing you anguish this morning, God says, give it to me. Surrender it to me, and I will make the way straight from you. And this is his promise. He will lead us. Our responsibility is to lead and to learn. The last part of verse 6 tells us that God will then lead us. And as he leads us, he will make our paths straight. I want you to circle that word make. It denotes intensity. What it means is this, that God is committed to pull out all the stops and go to work when we lean on him and we learn to love him. I want you to notice that God doesn't promise to make us healthy, wealthy, wise, popular, and comfortable. His promise goes so much deeper than that. It says he'll make our ways straight. In other words, he will make it clear what direction should to go and will help us navigate through whatever life throws at us. When I moved here 3 years ago, I had only been to BC one other time, and that was at our son's wedding. And that was a beautiful spring time of the year. The second time that I had opportunity to drive through our beautiful mountains was after I had moved here and after our first grandchild had been born. Sue had already gone up to Kamloops to be with Phil and Katie and Chloe, and I was going to come up a couple weeks later, and this would have been in November, to pick them up. At this point, I was still too new to understand all the rules and laws about chains on the tires or having the proper tires to drive the Coca-Cola. And so I just made my way after a Sunday morning service just like this. And as I got through Hope and I'm driving north of Hope, it hit. The first snowstorm of that year on the Coca-Cola. And folk, there was absolutely nothing that I think could have prepared me. Nothing. That's what it looked like. I did not have new tires on my car. I had the same tires that I had when I bought the car 3 years previous. I could not see in front of me. I did not know where to go. My knuckles were white with fear gripping the steering wheel of my car. And the only thing I could do, there were a train of transport trucks in front of me, all with their hazard lights on. And the only thing I felt I could do was make sure that I drove right behind each truck. that I followed their tracks along the Coquihalla. I could not see where I was going. Nothing was visible except for the lights that were in front of me. And thankfully, it lasted till we got to just outside of Kamloops there, and the snow cleared. But I learned a valuable lesson that I want to share with you this morning. Some of you are on a road and you've hit a snowstorm. And you can't see anything but snow and sleet and ice in front of you. And the temptation is to drive around the storm or drive around the traffic in front of you to try to get an easier way through the storm. And someone needs to hear this morning, that if you do that, you are going to make a fatal mistake. But God is calling you that in the storm you're in to keep your eyes focused on Him. He's before you. He's with you. He's behind you. He's going to bring you through the storm to the other side. Just keep yourself trusting in Him. Who are you focusing on this morning? This brings me to my PowerPoint of my message as we bring this to a close today. Trust is the most important factor in knowing God and His will for my life. Trust is the most important factor in knowing God and His will for my life. You can say you have all the faith, hope, and love in the world. But God is calling someone here today. God is calling a church here today. God is calling someone who is listening on Facebook today. God is calling someone to take that step forward and to trust Him. It may seem unknown right now. It may seem like a sleet of a snowstorm. But if you take that step, God will bring you through. The straight path is not always easy, but it will always lead us away from sin and destruction and lead us into a deeper fellowship with Jesus. Let me close with this translation, this verse from the Passion Translation. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore Him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. I'm going to invite Roland and the team to join me on the platform to lead us in one more song of